You played alongside a lot of other Gloucester players in your long career. Who would you choose to have in the front row with you?
If I had to pick a front row, a Gloucester front row, it'd be me, Olivier Zam, and Trev Woodman. Mm-hmm. Again, a question that as well.
Tell me why.
Because Zam would make it totally easy for you, because he was a scrummaging sort of. You talked about, let's not talk about the Zam other game that he's throwing in, and people say, but if we're talking about just front row and how he played in a front row in a scrum, he talked a lot, he was aggressive, he took it to heart, he took it personally. If the scrum went back, he sort of took the scrum up to his fellow teammates. And to the opposition, he demanded the best out of you. He helped you through it, and especially sometimes, believe it or not, a tight end, you can be left out alone, sort of thing, even though you're in a scrum, where you think it's a harsh environment because you can get exposed badly. And he didn't, even though I was sometimes under the cosh, he would try to make it easier as he could for me to help me sort of like get through it. And on the other side of that coin, he would. You know, if we was railroading them, he'd sort of like, doubly make it hurt for him, sort of thing, which is good. It's a good mentality. And as a scrummaging hooker, he had the best mentality, of anyone I played for, rather. And Trevor, he was simply the best loose head I've ever played with, and I think he's no one in the world has matched Trevor from then till now. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a freak of a man, and he was, totally underrated, I suppose, but he's a quiet man, he didn't seek the limelight much, but he was, from his pace, his power, his hands, his ability to run fast with sort of like, not long legs, incredibly strong, and he had a really nasty instinct, or animal instinct in him then, that he wanted to sort of hurt people, which was good. And that's from a front row point of view, that's what you got to have. And, again, I coach a lot of youngsters, and if you're playing in the front row, it's like boxing. Once you're getting through that ring, you get hurt. It's like putting your head in a scrum, you can get hurt, whatever. Like you said earlier in the interviews, there ain't no easy scrums. You've got to put your head in there. You've got to be mentally strong. And obviously there's different levels of doing it, I grant it. But, playing with those guys, you also, it'll be all right today, sort of thing.
They both offered such a lot, didn't they? Outside the scrum.
Definitely.
Azam is bigger than a lot of his props.
Well, he could prop. He could prop sort of like, he could prop anywhere in the front row, sort of thing. And what I liked about him, I talked about again in my column, sort of thing, about Marler and Nick Wood and stuff like that playing in the, who should be in the England squad. I'm not too sure whether sort of like likes of Marler, what these new generation of props coming through, take it to art that the scrum ain't quite what it should be, sort of thing. And I remember going back even in the amateur years when you're sitting on the back of a bus where we'd gone somewhere and we put 40 on someone, sort of thing. He was having a beer, but there have been a few great faces where, actual fact, we went back in a few scrums, and they talk about that as opposed to what the 40 pointer was about, sort of thing, which is. It was sometimes Gloucester can do yourself down. That's the nature of Gloucester people. I think they like to have a sort of like a bit of a moan, sort of thing, and be very self-critical. And we were very self-critical. But playing with the likes of Trevor and Azam, they were very sort of that. They understood sort of like that it was personal. And if you wanted to get on and do well, you had to sort of scrum out. And playing with them, that's all they thought of first and foremost were props or hookers. And our job is to prop or hook. And they took that job very seriously. What, like you say, they were very good around the pitch to sort of like to complement that. But first and foremost, they understood what they was on the part of doing.
Yeah,
they both took such a lot of stopping in the loose.
Yeah, brutal.
In their different ways. Yeah. I mean, Azam with that weight.
Yeah.
He drove them all forward.
Yeah.
I mean, the difference between having him in the side and not having him in the side was tremendous.
Yeah. And you can see that when his latter years at Gloucester, where he used to come from the bench. And nothing was sort of happening with his arrogance and his petulance. Maybe he would sort of like start something, and then the crowd would go up, and then someone else would go up. And before you know it, Gloucester's back on top again, just by his sort of like attitude and his will to do it, sort of thing. And there's there's different ways of sort of like riding people, but he was good at doing that as well. And that was that was a skill in itself as well. It's not, it's a mental thing as opposed to a physical thing, but he had the ability to do it. Like Trevor, he was a silent assassin, really. He didn't say anything all game. And bang, he would lay someone out, you know, as in not punch, but he was sort of like railroad in a scrum, or you know, run over someone, or you know, tackle someone, like, do you know what I mean? And that was why you put Phil Vickery in that mix as well. So, you know, I couldn't see him very, you know, beyond the, you know, top class, you know, the best front row in the world at a certain stage, it must have been, you know what I mean? And you know, lucky that we had those guys at Gloucester at the same time, you know what I mean, which is good.
Yeah, I bet Phil Vickery would choose those two to practice.
Yeah, definitely, you know, and, you know, Vicks, again, he was in himself, and his heyday, he was, you know, the best in the world, like, you know what I mean, and you couldn't take that, you know, and when he's winning the World Cup, just prior to the World Cup, just after the World Cup sort of thing, those years, you know, those props were the best in the world, and, you know, you can see past them anywhere, you know. And yeah, you know, except like I said earlier, it's not just what they did in the scrum. It was, you know, what they could do in the scrum was terrific. And you know, but added to that, they had it all really.
It was a strange coincidence that, you know, two lads from Cornwall growing up together should.
Yeah. Well, it's like amazing. Yeah. And you know, like the heritage of Gloucester. Like, that's why, you know, I'm proud of what I've done, obviously, but proud of doing it because I'm a prop forward. Because, you know, prop forwards are held in high esteem in this club, you know, for some reason they always have been. And to have the two World Cup finalists, or winners rather, in playing for Cherry and White at the same time, it was, you know, it was a massive honour for the club, massive honour.
Yeah. And which second row would you most like to have up your backside, if I could put it like that?
Again, the all round, you couldn't look beyond sort of like Ian Jones, really. You know, the man was, he's a great thinker of a game. He understood physically. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't a gym monkey. He wasn't strong, but he never took a step backwards sort of thing. And he never seemed to get sort of like muscled, if you know what I mean. He was very good in that respect. Great thinker of the game, great understanding of a line out, what we want to, and he's very bloody minded. And you think of the other two guys that I just mentioned about Azam and Trevor, and you put him, you know, they were, the trait they had was bloody mindedness.
And
Ian Jones was, he was bloody minded, like, you know what I mean, he knew what he wanted and he knew how to get it, and he wanted it, and he wouldn't stop trying until he got it. You
know? Well, standing on the sidelines, you know, spectating as we did, I mean, obviously you could see the class of Ian Jones in the line out and around the field, but you don't actually know how much power is coming through in the scrum.
Yeah.
And was again, that powerful, was he?
I wouldn't say he was the most powerful guy. And, you know, you had sort of like, at the time then, you had Ed Pearce sort of thing. He's, again, he was a bit of an enigma as a player, really, coming gone. And then he had everything a second row should have, pace, power. He was man-mountain. But he never actually put that all onto the train, what he took on the training field to the actual playing field sort of thing, which is a shame. But you put him behind you, and you say about that, God, I'm like, you wouldn't go for it, he actually hurt you sort of thing, you know what I mean? Because he was a very powerful and very heavy man putting you in. And like I said, like, you know, and back in them days, when we started scrummaging sessions sort of thing, where the back five then, they used to sort of like enjoy your in the front three, like, you know what I mean? It's your fault, you're fat and being a prop, you should have got out of there when you were younger. And if you get in the position and just fire into the scrum machine sort of thing, like, you know what I mean? And, you know, again, like I said, if you were in the right position, it could hurt and you could get injured. But these guys, they understood that, and, you know, it's, well, yeah, bring it on, like, do you know what I mean? But, you know, from that point of view, you know, Mark Cornwall was a very good scrummaging second row, very good, you know, he's a heavy man, like, do you know what I mean? Rob Fiddler, you know, very good scrummaging second row. But, you know, I think it's difficult, like, to name all, I think everyone had a snapshot of sort of like who was the best sort of thing, but from my point of view, like, Ian Jones was a very all-round second row sort of thing, you know, very good, you know, good at winning things, like, do you know what I mean, which is good, like, for some reason.
Yeah.